Hey everybody, welcome back to Sell Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe. I'm here with Leah McHugh, both of us from e-commerce. Chris, both of us excited and fascinated by this constant AI stream of content we have coming through. Questions about, hey, is this going to impact the appeals process? And then yesterday or the day before, somebody indicated that they think Amazon can tell when you're using ChatGPT to write a reinstatement appeal, whether it's an account reinstatement or an ASIN reinstatement, doesn't really matter. I think people are using various tools, AI-driven or AI-like, is that fair to say, to create templates, which we already know templates kind of fail 9 times out of 10 anyway, but it sounds like people are using these more often. Do you think that's fair to say?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. The idea that Amazon can identify the AI. Sure, there's plenty of programs that can do that. It's also very easy to get around those platforms flagging the content. I think the bigger issue is the quality of the appeals that are being able to be generated by AI for a number of reasons.
Right.
Firstly, a lot of sellers, when they come to us, they don't know what's wrong. So how would they prompt AI to write an appeal if they don't actually know what it is that they're appealing? So that's my first issue.
Well, pause for a moment, because I was going to ask you a question about what is the ChatGPT appeal based on? Is it based on your friend's appeal, which is, you think, a similar problem? What if it's not the same problem?
Well, so that's my issue number two.
Okay, go.
My issue number two is that AI, most of the LLMs are pulling information that was available publicly on the internet from 2 years ago. Wow. And we both know that there's a lot of very bad information on the internet on what you should write in an appeal to Amazon and what makes a successful appeal. So as far as I'm seeing it, you are pulling not very good information to create an appeal, appealing something that you maybe don't even know what it is that was wrong. And you're expecting I to be able to create a good appeal based off of that.
Right. So let's stop there for a second, because I've done at least a few podcasts saying, where are these wacky templates coming from that have a plan of action where there's been no plan of action asked for? Or
that too.
So it's like, in a way, this week's episode is a big plus or positive for me, because one of our biggest mysteries has kind of been solved. I think people are scraping, because as of last year, I would say 13, 14 months ago, Amazon switched to, like, we're not going to ask for as many POAs. We're not going to tell people to rewrite POAs. We're going to make a black and white world, and we only want a POA if we ask you for it. And sellers kept sending in a POA. I had a consult a couple of days ago where somebody said, did we write a POA? I had somebody at Amazon yesterday ask me, can you show us the seller's POA so we can look at it? So Amazonians are still saying this too, not just sellers, not just service providers. I think maybe the answer to this puzzle is that when you're scraping info or content from the internet from 2 years ago about appeals for appealing suspensions, most of it, maybe 80% of it, mentions writing a plan of action. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because 2 years ago, that was the case. And for 10 years before that, that was the case. So yeah, I do think that is the case. But I also think that there's just been a fundamental misunderstanding about this entire process pretty much for as long as I have been doing this, and that people seem to think that this is just a writing exercise, and it's not.
Right. Not a strategy exercise.
Because people also ask me, why don't I use AI to write appeals? Because I do know what needs to go into an appeal. And I tell them, because the information required is so specific that by the time I input all of that specific information into AI, I could write it myself in the same amount of time. So it's not just, we want to see that you can come up with generic things that will stop this from happening in the future. Amazon is looking for specific information. And if you don't have that information to input, how do you expect it to output it?
I think there was just a swap out. People were using VAs or cookie cutter copy and paste services, quote unquote, to generate templates. And that led to a rash of template mills, which were copying and pasting and trading and mixing and matching templates.
But it's the exact
right?
same thing. The templates didn't work because they contain generic content.
Yes.
It's the exact same problem.
So, I mean, again, maybe mystery number two being solved would be, why are we not seeing as many template firms or companies that we did a couple of years ago? Well, they're all peddling the same content, number one. Number two, they're just swapping those services out for something cheaper. Obviously, it's cheaper to use your own ChatGPT template than to use a template you paid $700, $900 for, or whatever. But that doesn't solve the problem. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you're not improving anything. It's just cheaper to use AI than it is to pay a template mill.
Maybe some people foresee a future where Amazon's using AI to talk to sellers, and then sellers are using AI to talk to Amazon. And it's
yes.
just AI talking to each other. But we're not quite there yet.
That's 3 to 5 years away.
And also, you know, on Amazon's side, their AI is not that great at it either. So,
yeah, well, I woke up today reading on LinkedIn a bunch of posts about how Rufus isn't cutting it. There's all these posts about Rufus. And then there's the backlash posts, which is
kind of... I was reading this morning how they have caught AI trying to take shortcuts when they give it problems.
All right. Well, that's good fodder for a future podcast. That's a good one. But we know the inputs from years of working on this material, but it's a strategy. It's not, I need to create a template and fill in the blanks. And people say, what are the buzzwords? Like you said, it's a writing exercise. What's the language I need to use?
Right. It's not. I mean, occasionally, yes, it's useful to use some jargon.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be what gets you reinstated.
But it, to me, it's the same as a different question, but a similar answer when people say, I don't want to talk about what to write. I already wrote my plan of action. I just want to know where it goes. Just give me someone's email address. Just give me someone's phone number. Just give me someone's Twitter handle, so on and so on and so on. These are shortcuts. These are, I don't know how to solve it, or I don't want to spend the time to solve it. So you guys work on this all day, every day, which is true. So I want you to give me a cookie cutter solution. If you've learned anything about Amazon or selling on Amazon, it's if you're looking for cookie cutter solutions that work more than once in a blue moon, you're wasting time, you're wasting brain power, you're wasting energy, you're wasting money. And now you're also wasting our time because we don't talk about it anymore. This is a strategy brand that you have, requires strategy. This is a strategy machine that you're feeding. So yes, their communication back to you is very generic and very boilerplate and very copy and paste. We get it. It doesn't mean you fight fire with your generic boilerplate copy and paste. But we shouldn't have to drill too deeply to hit oil when we're explaining this, I think. Right?
Yeah. I think it's just misunderstanding the purpose and what it is that Amazon's looking for to think that something generic is going to get you reinstated, or thinking that AI can figure out those details when you're not giving it the information needed to do so. I also think in terms of AI, certainly when it comes to algorithmic things, yeah, AI is going to be game changing for a lot of people's operations. Yeah. But in terms of communicating with Amazon, computers require logic. It's a if this, then this type of equation. So when you send in information and Amazon replies with an illogical response, how can you expect AI to know what the right response to that is? Communicating with Amazon is a lot less of a science than maybe an art.
I mean, these are the kinds of things we're going to be talking to people about at Prosper in a couple of weeks, too, because we know people are going to come to our booth. We have a booth at Prosper this year in Vegas. We know that we're going to have to explain why ChatGPT isn't just barking at something. Amazon account suspension. This is why we think it happened. We've seen appeals that sellers said succeeded that included blank. Give me an answer. Because is it fair to say that that's pretty much what people are doing? Just some basic inputs like Amazon account suspended.
But with non-basic appeals, I regularly work on appeals where we're appealing multiple ASINs, and it's a perfectly valid appeal, and two ASINs will get reinstated and one ASIN won't.
Yeah.
It's this idea of logical reasons for things doesn't work when you're communicating with these teams.
Well,
it's inconsistent, and it always has been inconsistent. And if anything, I think it's probably more inconsistent now than it ever was. So how do you expect a logic machine to deal with that?
And how do you expect to do escalations this way, too?
Oh, I've definitely run escalations written by AI, and they are not
Escalations.
good.
I mean, we're 12 minutes in and we probably don't have enough time to talk about that. We can do a part two. But what scares me the most, again, I'm sure this will come up at the Prosper Show, but beyond, is the escalations I'm seeing are definitely, some of them are ChatGPT driven.
Oh, yeah,
And it's
100%.
like, if you now, when obviously Leah and I see people emailing us with this type of content, and we can tell immediately that it was somebody who didn't feel like writing an email or didn't feel like reviewing it before they sent it, whatever you want to say. We can usually read between the lines and tell what you're trying to tell us or what you're trying to show us.
It's the
Amazon
same as the
executives,
templates. We could also identify them.
but just final point on that, escalations, generally speaking, are emailed to senior management. If they can tell that it's ChatGPT, which 90 something percent of the time Leah and I can tell that they are within seconds, if they can tell that too, they're never ever going to read it. They won't take it seriously. They're going to think, I mean, maybe if they're high in the highly placed executives, they're going to think you've disrespected them with your garbage and with your generic copy and paste or with your AI driven, you know. I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I think some people are not confident in their ability to write things, and that's why they might use it. Like, there's a variety of reasons why people might do this. But I'm here to tell you not to do it if you're sending an email escalation, because that is not only extremely counterproductive, you might be digging a deeper hole for resolving it at all, let alone right now.
I mean, I think I kind of feel this way about any content being written by AI. You can certainly use it as a starting point, but what AI spits out shouldn't necessarily be the final product. There needs to
Yeah.
be some editing and specific information added to whatever it is in order to make it not look like AI wrote it and to make it what is actually required in this
It's,
particular situation.
and even just like writing an important email to whoever, to Amazon, to your boss, to somebody important in your life, whatever, you're probably going to read it. You might end up moving a couple things around. You might end up rephrasing a few sentences. Any critical business or personal, really, communication probably should be drafted once, right? Reviewed, edited, not just for removing typos, which a lot of software can do that for you, not just for grammatical mistakes, because you can have help with that, but just for putting yourself in the shoes of the person who's reading your email. And I don't think any Amazon seller, any consultant, anyone who's providing any service or running a business should skip that step and just hope for the best. And that's what we see people doing. So, but we did solve a couple of mysteries, I think. That's why people continue to send in POAs. I think they're just, you keep saying they're scraping pages from a couple of years ago. Could it be longer ago?
Well, no, it's up until a few years ago. So yes, it is longer. It's not scraping current content yet, because that's how they trained it. They trained it on the data that was already on the internet.
Okay, but there's a cutoff time that's in like 2021, 2022, not last year.
It depends on which one you're
Okay,
using.
interesting. Well, we'll dive into and investigate that one next time. For now, don't escalate using a ChatGPT driven appeal. What would your closing final thought?
One, it's pulling information that may or may not be incorrect and giving you an output. Two, if you can't input the specific information, how are you expecting it to output the specific information? And three, computers use logic, and dealing with Amazon's teams is not always a logical exercise.
This is
The
why
end.
you're such a great podcast partner, because you can encapsulate these things. Any questions on this? Come see us at the Prosper Show, which is in Vegas, March 25th, 26th, 27th. Email us or keep listening, because we are going to revisit this. See you next time. Thanks for listening to Seller Performance Solutions. Have a good one.